Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. We're happy to be joined right now by Nikki Jobvala, covers the Commanders for the Washington Post. Nikki, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. How are you guys?
We are doing well. So I think the biggest news coming out of the last, 24 hours or so is that Marshon Lattimore is a full participant in practice. He's going to be a welcome sight back on the field to match up with Mike Evans and that wideout core down in Tampa. Talk about how he looked in practice and what the team expects from him this upcoming Sunday.
Yeah, so they only had a jog through yesterday. They were in the bubble. So you don't get to see a whole lot, and they weren't doing a whole lot. But today will be a full-speed practice, so we should be able to see a little bit more about, you know, how he's moving, how he looks out there. But, you know, Quinn said he's trending in the right direction, you know, and when Quinn says that, usually a player ends up playing. So
all the guys, though, right? I mean, as far as – I don't think we're going to have an injury excuse coming out of this game. I think we're going to have Biotish. I think we should have Coleman, right? We should have pretty much everybody.
Yeah, it's looking like that. I mean, it's a playoff game, so I think, you know, everybody's dealing with something at this point in the year, but you usually play through it if it's not too serious. So, yeah, it's looking like they'll have, you know, pretty much the full squad available.
Nikki, how do we know, because, you know, Lattimore and Mike Evans in the same division, they played against each other a bunch. How has Lattimore done against him? Has anybody done any research on that yet?
Yeah, I think Mitch Tischler put out his full stats against Mike Evans, and they're pretty good.
Okay.
I was hesitant to do it because the last time I did it, it was about how he shut down A.J. Brown, and then we saw what happened.
Right, right.
So for his sake, I'm trying not to do that again.
I got you, yeah. So he's had pretty good numbers against Evans.
Yeah. I mean, it's Mike Evans. Mike Evans is going to get his yards no matter what. But, yeah, he's held his own, no doubt.
Okay.
I'm coming at this as the biggest diehard Skins/Commanders fan here. Not even close, Nikki, to give you background, okay? So I am diehard, live and breathe. I don't pick them every week because that's stupid. I pick who I think's going to win. But, I mean, it ruins my week when they lose. So there's my background.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure. Like, the fact that they won 12 games is so mind-blowing. I don't even in my own heart feel like we're a 12-win team. Because so many went our way.
So many breaks.
I know the HTTC/ATTR crowd hates that kind of thought. But honestly, to me, maybe we were a 10-win team, maybe? But like the 12 wins is preposterous. And now I feel like we got to win a Super Bowl. We won 12 games. What are we doing? I don't know. Like, I'm torn on this whole thing.
No, I agree with you. I think the times when Jaden Daniels is unable to do pretty much everything on offense, it comes too close. When he can't do everything, it kind of shows how far along they are in this rebuild. Because they don't have enough around them. I don't think the line is where anybody wants it to be. I mean, I think they've done well, probably better than I expected going in. But there's still protection issues. The run game is virtually non-existent when Jaden can't run. So if he can't be Superman, then the offense is definitely lacking.
We're doomed.
I thought Marcus Mariota did his thing, no doubt. But, you know, they still got a ways to go. And this offseason is going to be huge because they're going to have to turn over the roster if they don't re-sign everybody. They got so many free agents because so many guys signed 1-2 year deals. It's going to be a mini overhaul this offseason. So. I think they have work to do. I think what's got him here is Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Right. And how far? But in other words, I was trying to make the argument with the guys, they won 12 games. Typically, a 12-win team should be, one of the favorites to win a Super Bowl. And I don't think that they are, you know?
Yeah. It's, yeah. No, I think that the defense, for one, doesn't look like a 12-win defense. They've certainly made improvements. They got talent on that side of the ball, but you know, the run defense is still leaky. You know, the secondary is by no means complete. So they still have issues on both sides of the ball. But, you know, and when you cut it close against teams like the Saints, who they should have handily defeated, that's when, you know, the win-loss record doesn't tell the full story.
Right.
Well, The one thing Tampa can do is they can score points, but their pass defense is not good. I know they've had a bunch of injuries in the secondary. But, man, you know, I was watching Spencer Rattler last week, and he was kind of moving the ball up and down the field. And then Tampa finally woke up in the fourth quarter and scored some late touchdowns. But I kind of feel like Washington can move the ball through the air in this one.
I do, too. Yeah. I think these are...
Now, I think Bucky Irving's going to be a problem. I do.
Yes.
But,
yes.
And then you mentioned
Evans.
They
get their own little rookie sensation.
But,
yeah.
But on the offensive side, I just think that if he can get some protection, Jaden, I just feel like he can move it.
Yeah. I think Jaden goes into this like a completely different player. I mean, I went back and watched some of the clips from that first game. It's like, oh, my God. Like,
also, Cliff. Different. I didn't like Cliff's approach. I thought he babied him too much in that game.
Yeah. So I think they go into this with an advantage with that, just because just the improvement they've made on offense is just remarkable. And again, I think it comes back to five. Like I don't think you can go anywhere in this league nowadays without an elite quarterback. I know this franchise especially has done that with players who may not have been considered elite in their day, but it's a different game now. You have to have a very good to elite quarterback to go far. But yeah, I think they have a good chance in this game. I mean, the defense is still the Bucs defense is still a little worse than doing just because they're so blitz heavy. And obviously Jaden does better when he has a clean pocket than when he's under pressure. And you always wonder how that line will hold up. But yeah, I think they have a really good chance.
Does Kingsbury
I'm hoping
seem...
so, anyway, because I don't want to get on a 5 a.m. flight to do locker room cleanup the next morning.
Understood. Does Kingsbury seem overly concerned at the fact that the quarterback has been leading them in rushing basically for every game in the last month that continued with Mariota in the win over the Cowboys? Or are they just going to lean right into Jaden and say, look, we need you to rush for 80 or 90 yards to keep us competitive against Tampa?
Well, that's why, I mean, they say they're not concerned about the leg soreness with Jaden. He's going to play through whatever he has, obviously. But if he can't be the full player that he's capable of, then yeah, it's a major concern because there is no run game without him right now. I thought bringing Austin back would kind of jumpstart that. It didn't have a huge effect last game. Maybe the second game it will. Third game with him back.
Second, yeah.
Yeah. So, if they can get him moving, that would help, but they need more out of Brian Robinson. It hasn't been there at all for the run game. They had a good start to the season. Now it's just kind of faded. So, yeah, I mean.
What about the defensive line? Why is it year after year seemingly so underperforming? And that's where a lot of our money is spent, too. And
I know.
I don't want to personally attack the guys. We have John Allen on the show all the time for years. He's a great guy. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a real weakness.
I know. They went from having four first-round picks that didn't really mesh well together.
Yeah.
I thought the line has been their best when they've had three of the four first-round picks, when it was Montez, John Allen, and Daron Payne with, one of the other edge rushers on the side. They've gotten the pressures. They haven't always gotten home, but the run defense is the real concern to me. And, then losing John Allen for, nine games? Daron Payne hasn't looked like Daron Payne for probably a couple seasons now. I think he's had, four sacks in each of the last two?
Right.
After having his big monster season that landed him the contract. So, yeah, I think it's probably been frustrating for them, frustrating to watch. The line hasn't been what you would expect for a while. I do think Dorrance Armstrong has been pretty solid.
I agree.
I think he's...
Well, and guys like Dante Fowler have been unbelievable at times.
Yep.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, and I agree with you. I think they can win this game. I'm actually going to pick them to win this game. I don't know. Who knows what happens after that, but I don't want to get ahead of us, but, are they going to bring Ertz back? Are they going to bring Wagner back? Like, those guys were kind of like key guys, and they're like a million years old.
Right. Wagner's going to be, 34, right?
Yeah.
He's one, especially because he's still playing at a pretty high level. He's not, the same guy he was, 10 seasons ago, but he's
in a 3-foot circle, he's pretty good.
He's the quarterback of the defense. Yeah. Like, I mean, I would absolutely bring him back on another 1 year. I think it's going to be up to him if he has, you know, what if Seattle comes back and offers? Will he turn that down? I don't know. I don't know if they will offer, but it'll be interesting to see what kind of market they do have because of their age, but also because of their production. So, I mean, they're not paying the Adam Peters money, but, you know, mm-hmm. I would bring him back just because I think this is still a team in transition, and you need guys like that, especially as you're going to make many more moves this offseason. So we'll see that.
Nikki, another veteran who really shined when he was called upon is Marcus Mariota. Like, do you think mm-hmm. he's going to garner any sort of interest on the market? Because if my memory serves correct, he only signed a 1 year deal to come here yeah. and play. Like, is he in the plans for next year? I know it's a little early to forecast that, yeah. but I would guess, like, he seems to be a really high level backup in case Jaden misses time. Do you think he's in the plans going forward?
I think it's very possible. I think he could also have a market. I think quarterbacks are always worth their weight in gold. In this league, you know, I think you see so many times mediocre quarterbacks getting picked up and going from team to team just in a reserve role. I think he had a very good year, and I think he really showed what he can do in that backup role, which I think is the second most important position on the field, honestly. Especially here. I mean, we've seen so many times where a backup has to step in and start or close out a game countless times. So I could see them bringing back. I think it'll depend on sort of what his market will be and what he wants to do. But he's been extraordinary for Jaden, for the team. I mean, just his reliability in stepping in to close out games. He's done it twice now. His mentorship of Jaden. I mean, everybody speaks incredibly highly of him. So it would make a lot of sense to kind of, you know, create that continuity too for Jaden.
Yeah, getting back to Mayfield, I mean, he did have an unbelievable year. I mean, yeah. 41 touchdowns, 4,500 yards, completed over 71%. I think his high for touchdowns, his best, I think, was about 27. So Liam Cohen, the OC, I mean, whatever they're doing, and obviously he's got really good receivers, but do you think that that Witt's going to bring guys to try and force him to throw the ball a little sooner now that Lattimore's, we presume he's healthy, and he can just kind of play on an island with Evans? Or do you think they'll have to bring some guys to kind of force him to throw the ball out there? But I don't know, man. Mayfield is just on fire.
He's on fire, and he's got weapons around him. I mean, when yep. you got a back like Bucky, you got Mike Evans in the pass game. It's, to me, it feels like another one of those pick your poison games, similar to Philly, where, okay, you could throw more at him, but what are you leaving exposed on the back end? And yes, you have Marshon Lattimore back there. I think that gives you a little bit more confidence, no doubt, than what you would normally have in the secondary, but mm-hmm. you also expose yourself a little bit more if you're throwing more at the passer. So, I think it's a tough challenge. I mean, it's, you know, they're not viewed in the same light as, you know, the Eagles, Bills, the top teams, but I mean, they have some, Mike Evans has put up some insane numbers against Washington. So he's the one that scares me the most.
Yeah.
Nikki, thanks as always for the time. Safe travels down to Tampa, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's Nikki Javala, covers the Commanders for the Washington Post at Nikki Javala on Twitter. When we come back, we will talk Washington Capitals with Nick Dow, the cap center. He's going to join us coming up next here on The Fan. Welcome back to an Open Line Thursday brought to you by Window Nation. We'll be joined shortly by Nick Dowd from the Washington Capitals. Later in the show at 9:40, Ira Kaufman, Bucks and NFL columnist for JoeBucksFan.com, will join us. He's always great. He's joined us many times throughout the years. So that's coming up at 9:40.
So I know Dow's going to call us in a minute or two. I do want to mention that Valdez, I wish we had this when we were discussing the TGL. Don't want to belabor it, but they did do 3.2 million viewers.
That's pretty good.
That's a big number.
It's kind of shocking.
That's a big number.
Now, it's the first time I told EB, like, the XFL used to get a pop on the first game. It's that curiosity type of thing.
And I agree with you.
It's, but can it's, I give you a slight counter sustainable?
To it? Slight counter?
Sure.
Tiger and Rory playing in the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Tiger is, if anybody affects numbers.
I could see that number being bigger.
Outside of the NFL, it's Tiger Woods.
What if it drops to 1.5 million, which is still
Tiger,
good.
I'd be surprised.
You don't think it's going to drop? I think it'll drop.
I think it'll drop, but not a half. And I don't think it'll lose
Tiger
half of Tiger.
Will bring the casual eyeballs.
Tiger will, like he might be close to maintaining it. Now, it might be the drop-off might be in the third week.
By the way, they're smart that they're not competing against the NFL. Like, they've put midweek. They're not doing, like, remember Caitlin Clark in the WNBA playoffs, whatever? It was against NFL games.
Right, right.
Correct. All right, now we're joined by our friend Nick Dowd from the Washington Capitals, and he's big time now. He's powered by Verizon.
Wow.
He has a sponsor. That's big
time. Silly. Big
it's
silly.
Always big. What's up, Nick? Good morning. How are you?
Hi, guys. That's huge. That's big.
And look, you know, that's a big one. That's a, like a corporate titan, Verizon.
I mean, like people know that one. Like that has some juice.
Very good.
And do you remember your first cell phone, Nick?
Ooh, good question.
Oh yeah, of course. How could you forget the Nokia brick phone?
Oh, you had one of those?
Oh, the Nokia.
Yeah, I had one of those. I mean, you know, it's crazy talking, like, you know, aging myself right now, but like a lot of the kids I play with now, their first cell phones are iPhones. Which,
right.
Can you imagine getting that as your first?
Hey, yeah. Nick, I'm glad you brought that up, or we're talking about cell phones. Was it in an NHL game or like a minor league game where I think a ref had like his cell phone pop out on the ice as he's like chasing a play.
I heard about that. Yeah. Wasn't that in Russia?
I wasn't sure where it was, but it struck me like there's no chance like in an NHL game the refs have their cell phones tucked in their pocket while they're skating, do they?
No. Sometimes you wonder, you know, but you know.
By the way, we never really talk about that. Being a ref or a linesman, it's kind of like a crazy job. Like those guys, they have to be like great skaters. They have to like hop up on the boards to get out of the way when
their head
a scrum.
Has to be on a swivel.
Like I'm guessing you guys, look, you have issues with refs and linesmen, I'm sure, but you probably respect them for the job that they have to do every night in an arena when they're doing your games, right?
Yeah, no, it's a tough job. I mean, I definitely would never want to do it. It would be really hard.
How often do they get in your way? Like, you're like, this damn guy, like, how often does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably like once a game for me individually.
Really?
So, you know, yeah.
That's
a lot. I mean, it's not like big, you know. I mean, the worst one I've had was you try and play a puck and the ref standing there and bounces off and went right into the slot and they scored.
Right.
But, for every one of those you get that happens to you, you kind of get generally on the other side, you probably get a bounce too, you know?
So do you curse the guy out or you just shake your head?
Depends on what the score of the game is.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah.
Hey, so
are there certain officials that when you see the officials before the game, you get them, you go, oh, my God, I can't stand this guy?
Oh, yeah. No question.
Yeah. I know you're not going to name them. But...
I'm sure I'm one of those guys they see on the sheet and they're like, oh, great. I'm going to deal with this guy tonight.
All right, right.
So, Nick, last night's game, congrats on the win. It's always good to get a home win.
Yep.
Kind of weird in that all three of the game's goals came in the final minute of a period. Like, just.
Did they?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, you're right. Good scoop.
It's kind of strange, right? Like when you're back and forth, it's tightly contested, and then you pot one at the end or they get one toward the end of the period, kind of a weird way for that game to shake out.
Yeah. It's always tough to give goals up at the end of the periods. I mean, for them, it goes the same way, right? Like, it's almost one of those things where you'd love to score a goal going into the period, feel good about yourself. And like I said, it kind of puts the other team back on their heels and it pisses coaches off and it puts people in bad moods. Same goes for us, right? We score one. It's great. We go into the period with the lead. That's huge. And then, you know, they tie it up with 30 seconds left on the power play. So, I would have never caught that, but yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that. Even the overtime one.
Yeah. I think maybe 40 seconds, 41 seconds left in the OT.
That was a nice goal by Dubois.
Oh, it was beautiful. So take us through that where Protas basically he brought every defender with him as he cruised behind the net. And I think one of those guys dropped their sticks for the Canucks. So they were really up against it. Then they only had two guys with sticks at that point. And then Luc Dubois, he just basically gets a layup against the goalie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing probably what happened was they probably saw Pro on a bit of a break, but they also probably saw Miller back, you know, handling him and keeping him to the outside, and then he dropped his stick. And I'm guessing the other two guys, it was probably a little bit of a mistake, but I'm guessing that they probably saw our guys changing, and they assumed that they could probably jump Pro. And create a bit of an outnumbered situation. And, you know, he was just able to make a great play and it kind of left Doobie all alone. And then Doobs finished it off.
So, Nick, we talked to Coach Carberry yesterday, and he's kind of expressed frustration with your recent play, saying it's kind of going beyond a slump. How do you kind of get out of this thing?
Yeah, well, I think we started with it last night. I don't think our starts have been great. I think we've kind of got a little casual at times. I think we had so much success the first 20-something games of the season. We were scoring a ton of goals. And everyone was playing their best hockey, which is rare, right? I mean, that's rare for a team to start the season off that hot with almost 21 guys that are in the lineup playing some of their best hockey altogether. Generally, it's, a line carries the game for that game or for that week, or, a goalie plays really well, or the power play is really helping. But I think we were all just playing very well at the beginning of the year, and it showed. You're always going to have slumps throughout the season. It's an 82-game season. It's, impossibly long. You're not going to play your best hockey for all 82 games, but that's why you hope to build a team that's deep enough to where when you do have slumps like this, or maybe you're not scoring as many goals 5-on-5, your power play helps you out, or if it's the other way and your power play is not doing great, that your 5-on-5 hockey is good or your goaltending is good. So I think that's why you guys have probably been able to tell that we've still been winning hockey games, even though at times maybe we haven't been happy with our full 60-minute game. But I think to get out of that, it's just you're gonna have to lean back into the work. I think there's in this league, it's so damn hard to score, and teams now know that we're one of the better hockey teams in the league, and we've proven that over the first half. And I think different from last year and the year before is like when we play teams now, we were always a dog going into the games, and now I feel like we have a target on our back, and we have to be mature about that and understand that that's kind of what we're going up against every night.
But Nick, it does kind of speak to how high the bar is set now with the Capitals, that you're atop the Eastern Conference with 58 points and still, like, you guys want more. You want to play better. You want to score more goals. You want it to be a cleaner process, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's a great point. Yeah, I think as you have some success and you have, it's not long-term success, but when you have success over 20, 25 games and you kind of start putting teams on notice and, the analytics show that, right? Like, it's not just a fluke. You create that stigma that this is who we are. This is how we play. This is what we expect. Like, we expect success. Whereas, last year was such a grind at all times, and we were doing our best to win hockey games, and it was really challenging to score goals at times. Whereas this year, we it's kind of been the complete opposite. But now that we've done that, we have to continue to do that, and we can't take our foot off the pedal, because, like I said, teams, coaches know that coming into the game, right? Like, they're letting their teams know. Last year, maybe we had opportunities to surprise people because we weren't playing our best hockey at times, and that showed in our season. But I think it's just once you create that atmosphere of success, it's something that you got to continue to push for all 82 games. It's tough. It's tough to be consistent, but that's the goal, right? That's what we want to do, and you want to get better and better and better. Even though you could sit here and say, well, you're top of the Eastern Conference right now. It's like, no, we've lost games in overtime. We've lost games in shootouts that we should have won, and that's the expectation now. So.
We're joined by Nick Dowd from the Washington Capitals, powered by Verizon. So Mikey moves from winger to center down on the third line. Talk about how tough that is on, like, you or any other player, where you basically have to switch positions and start playing a different role for the team. How is he assimilated to that? Talk about McMichael moving from wing to center on that third line.
Yeah, that's a tough move, especially for a young kid. I mean, I know Mike has played quite a bit of games for a young kid at this point in his career, but playing center at the National Hockey League level is challenging, right? Like, you have to kind of try and be one of the best defensemen when you're on the ice, and then when you have an opportunity to go play offense, you have to be able to go play offense, so you got to do the for people out there watching hockey, I mean, you have to be able to do what wingers do, and you have to be able to do what defensemen do, and then you got to be able to take faceoffs, and you know, it's a challenging job, especially for a young kid, but also a kid that, you know, hasn't done it all year, right? So he got Mikey switched over to wing, which in my opinion is also has its challenges, and he was able to do that, and he's performed and played really, really well, like really well. But then to be able to switch back, I mean, there's just so many different nuances of the game that come naturally when you play at a certain position for a long time, that allow you not to have to think about things and allow you just to be instinctual and play. So to be able to have to switch back to play center, which requires, I guess, a little bit of a different mindset, is tough, but I think he's handled it really well. I mean, even just taking faceoffs, like, for a guy like myself, I take a lot of faceoffs, but if I were to go a whole game without taking a faceoff, and then you were to chuck me out there to take a defensive zone faceoff, my timing would be off. Like, my rhythm would be off. Like, you talk to centermen, the more draws you take, generally the better you get at them. So just for Mike to have to go from taking no draws all year to getting thrown into the dot is tough, but he's done a great job. So,
Doubter, speaking of great jobs, Logan Thompson just lights out again. He stopped 30 of 31 last night. He improves to 17-2-2 on the season.
That's ridiculous.
This stat is crazy. He's allowed two or less goals against in 13 of his 17 starts dating back to early November. I mean, he's been crushing.
Yeah, yeah, he's played really, really well. I think both of our goals have played well. But yeah, Tomer's been... he's been solid back there, I think, at times for both our goalies. I mean, obviously, just speaking of Tomer now from last night, there's been times where we've given up pretty high-quality opportunities, and he's made those saves look pretty normal. So I think a lot of the time people walk away from the game, oh, you know, like, we had a great night, everyone played well, where it's like if he hadn't made those saves, especially early, like I talked about, like I haven't loved our starts. I think there's opportunity for us that we would have been down 1-2-3-4-0. And then we've had those types of games before, and then you end up chasing it. It's hard to score that many goals. So, he's been exceptional so far. It's good to see. And obviously, you're going to need that, right? Like, you're going to, every good team generally has, two great goaltenders, and you know, we've been very fortunate this year that both of them played well.
So. All right, so it's Montreal tomorrow here. You guys played them in Montreal a few weeks ago, beat them 4-2, I believe. What do you remember about that game? What are the strengths and weaknesses of Montreal?
They're a fast team, young team, you know, and they're not afraid to take chances, right? And they have quite a bit of risk for their game, and their rush game is really good. So it's going to be really important for us to manage the puck through the neutral zone. You know, Vancouver was very similar last night too, right? Like, there's teams that you play that are heavy forechecking teams, like maybe the Boston Bruins, teams like that, where maybe they don't bite you as much off the rush if you turn it over, but they're going to maybe get you in the offensive zone. I feel like Montreal, with the youth that they have, and the ability for them to skate as a fast team, is as soon as you turn that puck over in the neutral zone, you know, they're pretty deadly off the rush. And so that's one thing that we're going to have to be careful about. But I think, you know, strengths is that if we make their D-men play down low, just like any team, like you saw last night when we got the puck into Vancouver's end and we created turnovers, it's tough to defend it, you know, at this level. And, guys make it really hard. I think we have a lot of elite players in the offensive zone. So that's going to be our bread and butter tonight, is limiting our neutral zone turnovers and making their defensemen go back and try and make plays under pressure. So,
Doubter, good catching up with you, man. Get those 2 points. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah, thank you, buddy.
That's Nick Doubter from the Capitals, powered by Verizon. When we come back, we'll do the Junkies Blitz, take a look around Wild Card Weekend, which is approaching rapidly. We'll do that next. I had to laugh when I looked at the outline, and this story, the headline just makes me chuckle. And I find this number kind of alarming. Nearly half of Americans carry around spare underwear.
Don't know one person.
I don't either, but like, according to a recent study, it was like 2,000 people were surveyed, and like 45% of them carry spare underwear in case they have an accident, or if they feel like they're going to spill something out. Like they
do you know the more alarming
stat?
They've
got a backup bullet.
I don't buy it. I believe it's like EB's research project he did when he had a real job.
What do you mean?
Fudged data.
Fudged data? That's possible. Most studies are fake. What were you going to say, Valdez?
Do you know the more alarming stat in that story?
Yeah.
Is that of the 50% who carry spare underwear?
Yeah.
70% have had to use spare underwear.
Right. All right. So let's break this down here for a little bit. So if you're bringing spare underwear now, for guys, it's clearly because of how can I say,
an accident?
Yeah.
A stain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I'll say it that way. I could say that, right?
Accidental discharge.
For a girl, I would say, don't girls, when they laugh, pee, like sometimes it. I think that's a thing. I'm not sure about that. I got two daughters and a wife. Sometimes they say, oh, I laughed so hard, I peed myself. That's a thing. Okay. I think that's a thing for women. That's not a thing for a guy.
Is there a breakdown
like,
by
women,
sex
I don't
in the
think
article.
It stains. I'm going to guess it's accidental laughing so hard or something like that. Pee. For guys, it's straight up.
It's poo.
All right, now Jason said this. He doesn't even wear underwear.
Right.
So, yeah. All right, if it's 50%, there's six of us now, plus you. So out of the six, how many people here bring spare underwear with them?
Zero.
I don't wear underwear either.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, so that's a revelation.
But I
you got quite a jungle over there. I don't know how you zip up. Right?
I actually have spare underwear. It's in my gym bag, in my car.
I technically have spare underwear. I technically do too. In my gym bag, I have extra underwear, extra belt, extra. Like if I go to the club,
yeah,
or something.
A change of clothes. I think that's different.
It's not a full outfit. It's a couple extra underwear, couple extra
socks,
that's
spare
a belt.
Underwear.
All right, so there you go. Two out of the seven.
But I will say this. It's not for, like, I had this debate the other day. My wife was breaking my balls. Shocker. Breaks my balls. Everyone breaks my balls all the time.
You have an inferiority complex.
It's not an inferiority complex. It's a I'm sensitive to it. That I just notice all people do is Joan on me. All I go everywhere is just get Joan done.
Is that why you compensate with the back padding machine?
Someone has to.
Somebody's got
to
do it.
Someone has to. No, but she was mocking me about something, and then she tried to allude that. I leave stain on my underwear.
Oh, that's,
she tried to say that.
That's quite an accusation.
And that's where I draw the line.
Yeah.
And I said, honestly, that might happen for me once every 5 years. Like, I don't, my
once
undies.
Once in a blue moon.
My undies are silly.
Why'd she say that?
I don't know. I think she was just, we were in a joning contest. She was just attacking
once
me.
Once in a blue and moon.
I can't remember what the conversation was about.
Well, that's.
She was attacking me.
Man rule number one is you can't have white underwear.
Oh, I don't. So maybe that's why I
can't have light colored underwear. It's a bad.
I don't. All my underwear are like
black.
It's black.
They're all like the boxer briefs, Adidas, whatever.
Like compression shorts.
Compression shorts. My underwear is pristine on the backside. I'm just saying. What is your rate? Some of you guys, though, I bet. Are a little grosser. I think my rate of leaving.
I think my rate's pretty good, pretty solid.
Like I'm never embarrassed when I put my underwear in the hamper. I'm never like stuffing it down in the bottom or something. You know what I mean?
Put it at the bottom of the washing machine.
My underwear, I just throw it in there. Silly. Now it might be stinky, but it's not going to have marks.
Well, Drab had. I think he was wearing three layers the other day. He was. Visibly uncomfortable in the bathroom because he had underwear. He had long underwear, and then he had jeans.
Well, it's because you didn't know how to handle the weather.
It is. Well, yeah, I put on some thermal long johns.
You panicked. You had to take it off. I've done that before.
Too much.
Yeah. I've done that before.
Too swampy.
I've panicked in like an airport. Didn't know what to wear.
Hey, I mean, you take this survey and you crumble it up. It was commissioned by Hanes. This is the dumbest thing ever. Valdez fell for it. Got all excited for the story.
I told you every study's fake?
Every study's fake.
Every study's
fake.
Something.
They're trying to sell underwear.
They're selling underwear.
Everything's a sell.
Which Valdez won't buy, apparently.
Everything's
a
con.
Did people know that Valdez is like team underwear?
So is it like, Jason, like you're wearing gym shorts or you're just wearing like sweatpants and nothing else?
Free rolling.
Well, on sweatpants, I wear underwear.
Yeah.
What sweatpants you do?
What are you wearing today? I have no idea the pants
jeans
you're wearing.
You're not wearing a
pair. Do you stand up?
You want me to moon everybody?
No, no, we're on TV. Don't forget we're on
TV.
Well,
they don't have to put a camera.
No, don't. I don't know how it works.
Here, I'll show you my butt.
I believe you.
I believe you. No, we might be on camera.
I'm not on camera.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I need to see that.
Those cheeks are kind of a show.
They're huge. They're huge cheeks. Yeah. It means massive. Massive cheeks.
He's flipping tires all the time. Of course he's got a big butt.
Right.
He told me to prove it, and I proved it.
Right. Was there a lot of hair there, too? It's hard
kinda,
to tell from here.
Kind of patchy.
Look a little pimply.
Yeah. I looked away.
You don't know, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't get a good look at it myself. Yeah.
Right. Hold on.
I didn't have that on my bingo card.
No.
Valdez's
Valdez,
ass.
when you bring your extra pair, is it Hanes?
No. It's like Eric. It's New Balance all compression shorts.
Yeah. Literally, since Under Armour gave us that pair 20 years ago at HFS, all my underwear since then has been compression shorts.
Mm-hmm. When did you make the move to no underwear, Valdez?
I don't know, probably 5 years ago.
All right, so hold on. Question. I have a question. Now, you say when you wear sweats, it's like you're adamant.
Well, that's because
they could slide down.
Yeah, they could slide down because they're not as secure. You don't have a belt.
You'd be at the Safeway or something. All of a sudden,
and then the straw, like the drawstring might not
it's
work.
Loose.
Yeah, it's loose.
Put too much, too much.
Yeah,
stuff
you put your cell phone and wallet in there, and all of a sudden it's weighing down. And
yeah, now you're
walking
out.
Around. Yeah, walking around giant.
Then
with
everybody
your
sees
a Reggie.
Yeah, right.
Then you're asked to leave.
What
immediately.
About what about the zipper issue?
What do you mean?
You just got to be careful
because you did win the Reggie contest. Have you changed your habits since
then? It's not as bad as you think it is.
Have you tightened up shop a little bit? Have you made a concerted effort?
I think it's normal. I think I'm on the normal spectrum. And you're fine.
You know,
that's
a great question. Next time I'm at my urologist, I'm going to ask him.
What's the normal?
What's the norm? What's the norm?
Don't you do a hacksaw Jim Duggan treatment? You don't have like a... You don't use like a manscaper.
I don't have a manscaper. I do like sugar cane. I take a Bic and I go.
Gross. Never going to look at sugar the same way again.
I just hack away.
You still pass it.
Yeah.
We talked about that when you were gone, how we do it. I don't have the manscaper. I was given a manscaper for the holiday show,
mm-hmm.
but I sold it.
You sell everything.
Sold it on Facebook.
Really?
How much money did you make on Facebook this year just selling?
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to ask my wife.
Did they send a tax receipt?
Yeah, that's funny.
Venmo does now.
That's a real question.
That's a funny question.
Venmo does.
That's funny.
Well, how does Venmo know if you made a sale? I don't understand.
I know that they started doing transactions.
Any transaction you do?
No, not for friends and family, for businesses over $600 or whatever.
Right.
Okay, so for Kelsey,
he sold books and all that stuff on there. That's why he gets
it. Okay, because
business. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Jason's going to claim a tax gain for selling a razor.
Yeah, I sent Lucas $107 for my 5-iron. I'm going to get a tax form on that? Give me a break. All right, let's go to Josh real quick, Upper Marlboro. Josh, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, mark your calendars, guys. January 9th, this is the most important call of the year already. Four top decisions in my life. Going back to church, marrying my wife, having my kids, and getting a bidet seat for my butt crack.
It's a great idea.
Listen to me.
Now, I have one of those. Listen. I haven't installed it, though.
It will change your life. So I have a long crack in high school football. They call me Captain Crack.
All right, relax.
You've never heard that in my life.
Right.
Okay, so I have.
I understand.
Okay,
I understand.
We get it.
Okay, so
you're gross.
I need extra care after using the restroom. This thing is remarkable. It has five different pressure settings. It blows dry at the end. It has an agitation piece so it can like go back and forth. It's literally like giving your butt a massage every time, and you don't have to worry about anything in underwear because you're like giving your butt a shower multiple times.
Jason, you need one because you always take a shower afterwards.
I do.
You should get one.
It's too lazy.
Guys, I'm telling you, every time they do like a top 10 list on Twitter of like the things that change your life, my number one is the bidet. We went to Paris one time. They had the seat there at a hotel. and I came back and I bought it, and it changed my life.
Are you here? I have a question. I've seen these before in some of the hotels I've been at or whatever, and my father-in-law has one. I'm always worried that I'm going to make a mess. You know that?
No, they don't make a mess. You have a remote. It has a remote that comes off the wall, so you're holding it in your hand. It's not the old school one where you're like turning a knob anymore. This is electronic. I paid $800 on Amazon.
Ooh, oh no, I got a cheap one.
I mean, yeah. It's worth investing in it. You just have to trust me. A random guy on the radio. This is the most important decision for your butt for life. I mean, it is.
All right. I gotcha. All right.
Listen, big on bidets.
I do think there's some merit to it.
How long have you had it?
My father-in-law gave us one, you know.
Years ago?
Yeah, but he bought like a cheap one. You know what I'm saying? It's not some $800 one.
A Timu bidet. He's waiting for his wife to install it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my wife.
That's the problem.
Yeah, you need to get hooked up to the water line and the toilet.
I'll say this. It's just a little bit intimidating. There's something a little bit intimidating about it.
That is true.
I don't know what it is. I feel like I'm going to go in there, and all of a sudden it's going to be, you know, like the Bellagio.
I was at the Aria.
The bathroom will be on.
I was at the Aria years ago. I had a bidet, 100 buttons, different settings. You think I used it? No chance.
Yeah, I'm intimidated by
it. I was definitely intimidated.
But I do think it would be silly.
It would be great.
It's like a water pick for your...
Yeah.
You know.
Cleans up the mess more thoroughly.
You know how much toilet... I clogged the toilet yesterday with toilet paper.
Not surprising at all. Yeah, that sounds very on brand for you.
You know, it takes a lot of paper.
Yeah. Got to be thorough.
I ain't leaving there with any specs. Got to be speckless.
All right, coming up later in the show, thankfully, we're going to pivot from this topic. Ira Kaufman is going to join us coming up at 9:40. He'll help us break down Bucks Commanders, which is this Sunday night.
Ira's
at
great.
8 p.m. Ira Kaufman joins us coming up at 9:40 here on the Jux.